Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you for listening. President Obama is in Tokyo today. It's the first stop on his week-long trip through Southeast Asia. And at the top of the agenda are the rising tensions between Japan and China over a group of uninhabited tiny islands in the East China Sea, known as Senkaku in Japan and Diaoyu to the Chinese. Both countries have claimed the islands as their own. Now, President Obama reaffirmed this week Japan's territorial claim. He did it in a written answer to the Yomiuri Shimbun newspaper. He said, "We oppose any unilateral attempts to undermine Japan's administration of these islands." Well, for more on the president's trip to Tokyo and the territorial tensions between China and Japan, we turn to Orville Schell. He's director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society. Thanks for joining us, Orville.
Pleasure.
Orville, let's talk about the broader context of both the president's visit and the dispute between China and Japan here, because none of this, at least as far as the U.S. is concerned, is really about some tiny uninhabited islands. The president has to think strategically here, right?
Well, he's sort of flying right into the hornet's nest between the second and third largest economy, both of which are quite sort of irradiated at this point by nationalist sentiment, and both are claiming sovereign possession. So we have a treaty obligation to come to Japan's aid if it is attacked. However, we have not taken a position on who has sovereign possession of the islands, only recognizing that China has not been the administrator of them, that Japan has, and we have agreed that we would defend Japan's administrative right. But we're dodging the question of whose islands they actually are.
And at the same time, as you and I are talking about islands and whether we dodge the questions of who they belong to, the broader issue really is the rise of China in Southeast Asia, the critical strategic partnership between Japan and the United States, and our need to not offend the Chinese too much because they're such an important economic partner, but not let them walk all over an ally.
Well, this is precisely the dilemma that Obama is going to find himself in the middle of for the next few days. We certainly do need to maintain our alliance with Japan. On the other hand, we cannot but find ways to work with China on a whole host of questions.
And there are also a lot of political voices in Japan saying, oh, it's a matter of time before the United States kind of edges away from us and turns toward economic partnership with China. We're going to lose out here.
Well, and of course, they look at the Ukraine, where the United States has done very little to come to their defense. And they wonder whether this pivot to Asia that Obama has proclaimed is actually worth as much as they hoped it was.
Is it a fair criticism? You know, a lot of members of Congress, the president's opponents, and I guess a lot of people in Japan say exactly that. Look at Ukraine, how Vladimir Putin took Crimea and is now maybe going to take parts of eastern Ukraine. Look at Syria, where United States rhetoric didn't match up with action. They think that all of this is prelude to American acquiescence around these islands and in relation to China. Is it fair?
I don't think that criticism is fair because we do, after all, have the 7th Fleet that stretches from Honolulu to Singapore. It's the most powerful fleet in the world. We do have a treaty obligation with Japan. We did not with Ukraine.
Well, at the same time, Orville Schell, you know, I read this statement that we mentioned at the top that the president gave to the Japanese newspaper. It's very carefully worded in diplomatic speak, as you'd expect. And it says that administration of the islands is covered under the treaty with Japan. But I noticed the last sentence, and we oppose any unilateral attempts to undermine Japan's administration of these islands. It says oppose. It does not say the 7th Fleet will launch cruise missiles if you take over the islands. I mean, I can oppose things in many ways.
Well, of course not, because this is where the balancing act comes in. The United States does, in the best of all possible worlds, to keep a somewhat neutral position in this.
Do the leaders in China get on notice when we want to put them on notice in this way? Are they amenable to these types of diplomatically balanced efforts?
They are tremendously sensitive to any sort of suggestion that they are being contained. And of course, the U.S.-Japan alliance just really makes them concerned that this is precisely what has happened, kind of a post-Cold War recontainment of Asia, preventing China from taking its rightful place in Asia and the world as it rises. So this situation is open for a tremendous amount of misinterpretation.
Before we let you go, Orville Schell, what about the conversation in private between President Obama and Japanese Prime Minister Abe? I mean, I imagine it's a lot different than the public announcement. Doesn't the president have to tell Abe, look, we've got your back, stop provoking China and don't whip them up?
That's precisely what he will say. He will say, we are longtime allies. Please keep calm and cool. We do not want to get the Chinese any more exercise than necessary.
Orville Schell is director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society. Thank you, Orville.
Pleasure.